PAs, allies, and anybody that wants to learn more about the LGBT plus community. My name is Zanardi, and I'm so glad all your beautiful faces are here. Hello, family. Welcome back to another episode of the Alphabet Mafia podcast. This episode is important. Very important, I believe. I think it's something that a lot of people relate to. I know I related to it a lot. We talk about religious trauma. This is an episode focused on religion and religious trauma from queer people or against queer people. And our guest today was traumatized by religion, forced almost into conversion camp. It was more like conversion therapy, as in seeing a therapist therapy, not like conversion camp therapy, if that makes sense. Anyway, you'll listen, you'll get to hear it. But this is such an important topic because a lot of us, a lot of queer people, go through traumatic experiences because of religion. And it's not to attack religion, this isn't what this podcast is about, but it's about to share the stories and make it be known that there are institutions and creeds in this country and in the world that are very harmful to us. And it's not anyone's, I mean, it's the fault of the people doing it. It's the fault of the people, whether it's misinterpreting their scriptures or carrying out these acts. So it's a very important episode. You know, we kind of just really dive into it. So I just want to lay that trigger warning out there that if you are, you know, traumatized by religion pretty deeply, that this is a big topic of this episode. And so without further ado, gays, gals, non-binary pals, give it up for our good friend, Aaron Botroff.
Hey, Aaron, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm doing well, absolutely, and I'm glad you're here. By the way, very nice background, your wall tapestry and the flag. Always a good sight to see. Yeah. What is that painting exact, or that tapestry exactly?
I don't know if it's like anything specific. It's just of like a Asian kind of ocean set. I really liked it. I don't know, it was cheap, $10.
Yeah. Did you get it locally in Asia or like on Amazon? No,
Amazon. Yeah.
Yeah. I hear that. Cool. Well, why don't we just start with the introduction? Why don't you just tell us who you are and what you do?
Okay. Yep. My name's Aaron Botroff. Some people might know me from TikTok. That's kind of where most people would know me from. I currently am in the Navy, I'm in the military. I'm originally from Southern California, although I lived a year in Texas and now I'm here in the South. So kind of been all over the place, but yeah.
Cool. So you're active in the military.
I am. Yes. You're,
nice. And when did you join?
I joined 2.5 years ago, straight out of high school. So yeah.
Okay, cool. What prompted that what led you down that path? Is that something you always thought you wanted to do?
Not at all. It honestly was related a lot to my upbringing and things that, not like it brought me to wanting to do it, but things that happened in my childhood toward the end of high school that kind of forced me to join in a way, I guess. So yeah, it was never something I planned on. It was kind of a last minute decision.
It was kind of a way to, I mean, I know a lot of like the military provides a lot in terms of benefits, and they kind of allow people who are really unsure of where to go next. They provide that space. Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about like what happened that led you down that path?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, for like the whole military part, it kind of just starts straight from the beginning. It's kind of like a huge buildup, but I can absolutely start from there.
Sure. Yeah. Why don't we start at the beginning?
Okay. So I would say my upbringing, I was raised my whole life Southern California, all over, but my family still was very socially conservative. Mm-hmm. And also very Christian. I was brought up in, like, my mom's side of the family was mostly Seventh-day Adventist. Before she got married, she was briefly Baptist. And my dad grew up, like, Pentecostal. And so when they got married, they decided to kind of raise us non-denominational. And that's kind of how I grew up, but very also fundamentalist in its beliefs. Mm-hmm. For example, I went to a Christian school most of my life, and it was a Calvary Chapel school, which is one of the largest branches of churches for non-denominational churches. They have like a Bible college, multiple churches around the world, tons of schools all the way through elementary to high school. So that's kind of the environment I grew up in, very fundamentalist, non-denominational Christian.
Yeah, yeah, same. I can relate. I went fifth grade through 12 to graduation. I went to a Christian private school. And, you know, it's like you go into chapel every Thursday and you wear a tie. Like, you get your religion classes in, and they teach you. They teach you the curriculum, but from a Christian worldview. So like your science classes they're not talking about like evolution.
Yeah, mine was very literal creationist. So,
wow. Yeah. And what was that environment like for you? Was it kind of intimidating? Were you in the closet at the time? And
yeah. So, I mean, I was like, I grew up in that environment. I was going to that private school through elementary school and then back in high school. And so, I mean, there was, for most of my life, I believed it. I kind of went along with everybody else. I fully believed everything. I thought the world was 6,000 years old. I thought anybody who did not repent their sins to specifically Jesus was going to go to hell.
Yeah.
That's the way it was. But then towards high school, I would say I kind of started questioning things, started to realize my own sexuality, started to question things like science. I was really into like, I really wanted to study biology, so I was always watching National Geographic and Discovery, and it was like, why is everything that I'm learning in school the exact opposite of this?
Yeah.
So yeah, that kind of, and then as I came out, the environment kind of turned against me.
So did you come out while in school?
Yes, I came out in like my sophomore year of school, but I was kind of more outed, I would say, than came out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I came out to like personal friends, but it was like a youth group leader that outed me to my parents just on the suspicion. And then they took it to the school, and then it was kind of just like everybody kind of knew at that point.
Wow. So the youth group leader literally outed you because he thought that you were gay, or he didn't have proof, but he was thinking it.
We had like a youth group night where they wanted us to ask questions about anything we wanted. And I apparently asked too many questions that were related to being gay that he was like, it's suspectable that he's gay, and told my parents.
Oh my God. That has got to be so harmful for people. And I know that happens like often in these types of environments. How did you react in that moment when it started unfolding?
Well, it was like when my parents told me they knew, it was out of nowhere. They had like gotten mad at me, took in like my phone, and I was like in bed, gonna go to bed. It was like 11 p.m. and then they kind of just came in, was like, we know.
Oh.
And I was like, what? And then that whole conversation went through, and then it was kind of like basically what you would expect, like, you know, this is a sin, you're gonna go to hell if you do this, you're gonna have to get surgery because of hemorrhaging you or your partner, or like,
oh,
all like the whole gamut. And then it was kind of just like, okay, can I go to bed now? And then it was like, I was like, I have school tomorrow, and they're like, no, you don't, you're not going back to school.
Oh my God.
The last week of my sophomore year, and I never went back for that sophomore year. I didn't go to school the last week.
Oh wow. So you didn't return, just went on summer break. And what was that summer like? Like hanging out with your parents, and now they know, did they treat you differently? Did they like try to ground you?
It was like full lockdown. Like I did not have a phone. All house phones, all house computers were locked in a safe. I wasn't allowed to talk to anybody. That week that I was supposed to be in school, I had to meet with a pastor, St. Jim Doman, and he is a self-proclaimed ex-gay pastor that does a lot politically to help pass conversion therapy and stuff like that. And I had to go meet with him, and I had a one-on-one basically like counseling with him that I later found out was to see if I was eligible for conversion therapy.
Jeez. Which
I wasn't, because I was too far gone and I would risk exposing it, because in California it was illegal.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And wow. That's insane. And how did you react as a young boy, like going through this? Like, you must have felt so like, I don't know, not hopeless, but you must have felt something that was just like pressured. And
exactly. I was 15 at the time. And so it was like, there was no place I could go, you know, like it was like every person, even the one or two friends I had that were supportive, I had zero contact with. So it was kind of just like I was thrown all over the place, didn't really know what was going to happen. I didn't know if I was going to go to school the next year. I didn't know if I would be in therapy. I didn't know if, like, I didn't know anything.
How did you cope during this? Were you able to do anything to help ease your mind at temporarily, at least?
Honestly, there wasn't a whole lot I could do. Although, yeah. I mean, during that summer, because I couldn't do anything, like they even canceled cable. I was on cable, didn't have a door in my room, nothing. But I would just, I watched movies every day that we owned, and I did it in Spanish. And so I did learn Spanish that summer. I learned fluent Spanish in the summer just from doing literally nothing but watching movies. But
wow, I mean, that's the one silver lining. But like, you were like a prisoner pretty much.
Jeez. Yeah.
So then you go through this summer of being a prisoner, and do you return to the same school?
Yes.
Yeah.
I stay in the same school. They tell me I need to basically stay low, that I can't risk anybody affecting everybody else's Christianity.
Because your existence interferes with their belief system. Sure.
Them down a path of sin.
Oh my God. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, just for clarification on where this conversation will lead, are you religious at all now?
I am no longer religious. No.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I feel like that's important just to get out there, so people know where we're coming from.
Exactly.
So then you return to school and they tell you got to be down low. Did you get bullied? Was there people that
did that thing? I definitely got bullied a lot, and it would be in front of teachers. Like, I could have somebody call me a slur. I could be pushed up against a locker, have something taken. Nobody did anything. There was absolutely no reaction. And then starting that school year two, I would go to counseling with the principal of the school. And so I would get pulled out of class once a week, and we would discuss like religious topics, why I didn't agree with things, why I was going astray. As well as I would meet outside of school with our church's pastors and youth group leader and people like that.
Mm-hmm. At this point, were you fully like, I don't want anything to do with religion? Or were you still like, I think I'm Christian, but I'm also gay? What was that like?
I think at this point, it was kind of like about the same time that they found out was the time that I was kind of like, I don't think I want this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I still kind of like played around with the thought of like, religion or God, but I was like, at least this version of Christianity or even Christianity as a whole, I was like, it's not me. Like, I don't know what to do with this.
Yeah, because you're being traumatized in real time from it. They're forcing you into camps, or not camps, but like these one-on-ones and everything.
Yeah.
What did they tell you in these meetings? What did that look like?
I heard everything. I mean, everything from, I remember that one meeting I had with the ex-gay pastor telling me, you know, the worst thing you could ever do is act out on your feelings because then it's too late, or, you know, that you shouldn't identify as gay because that's not the label, or like, I don't know, trying to separate almost like behavior of gay from like recognizing that it's the way somebody's mind is.
Yeah.
I heard from pastors everything from like the fall of the Roman and Greek Empire was because of acceptance of homosexuality in America. Thing.
Yikes.
Yep.
Wow. So did you have any type of support? Did you have any potential like boyfriends or people or just friends that you were able to find online or through other means that kind of helped you through this?
I had a couple friends, like three friends maybe at my school that I was close with. There was absolutely no dating prospects.
No.
And then after that, I didn't really have access to internet. I didn't get internet on my phone until after I left home already 18.
Wow.
So I didn't have access to like online resources really.
Yeah. So this all happens and you graduate. Does this go on for 2 years from you come back to school junior year, and this is pretty much the norm for those 2 years of high school?
Not quite. So the end of my junior year, the school kind of decides that they're fed up with me as well as we had a lot of international students that were from Korea or China, and a couple of people started outing them as being not Christian, either Buddhist or atheist. And so the school decided to change the, from, I don't know the terminology they used for it, but instead of letting anybody go there, as long as they like abided by certain rules, you had to be not only Christian, but also under their theology. So they announced that change, and then they made a new contract for the code of conduct. And the whole thing was like, you read it and then you sign the very end of it, right? But there were two portions that you specifically had to sign after those specifically. And the first one said that you or your family members are not gay, that you believe it's a sin, and that you will not publicly support LGBT rights. And the second portion was like, you will abide by gender norms as prescribed in the Bible.
Wow.
And those in order to go back to the school.
Jesus. So they kicked you out.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm not signing that. So I was I was kicked out essentially.
Wow. I am amazed that like private school is like its own thing. I think there's good things that can come from it, but like I'm amazed that they're able to do that kind of stuff, like literally control people's.
And this isn't like, you know, backwards Indiana. This is SoCal. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Where in SoCal? Because I was raised in San Diego.
At the time, this was in Murrieta, or
okay,
the Temecula area, so Riverside.
Yeah, yeah, I know that area. Yikes. So then you get kicked out of your private school. Do you go to another private school or into public?
No. So then my parents are kind of like, okay, well, no Christian school will take you. We're not going to let you go to a California high school because that's too LGBT friendly. So they decided to move our whole family to Texas because it was less LGBT friendly. Conversion therapy was legal and it was more conservative.
They uprooted their whole life for you and your sexuality. Gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry that like that. I mean, of course, better now, I guess, but like that they would do that, that they cared so much that against you, right? Like that they, and then, so you go to a private school in Texas.
I go to a public school in Texas.
Public school in Texas. Because it's
very small, like 40 people in my graduating class. I had to drive through cotton fields to get there. Like it was very country.
Yeah. Why? So when your parents are doing this, what are they telling you throughout this process?
It's like, it's everything. It's all over the place. It's like, I'm getting both told, you know, like there's times when it's like borderline, if not like abusive, like I'm getting like physical things are happening. There's times when I'm being told, like, I remember them saying things like you're being Satan's bitch, or, you know, you'll never be able to be happy with another man. You'll have to be an alcoholic just to fall asleep next to them. You'll have HIV, your kids will die, or your kids will watch you die. And then of course you have like mom crying, being like, you know, why are you doing this to your mom? Why are you doing this to us?
Blaming you, right? Yeah. That's insane. And that's like, no mom, I will have to be an alcoholic and fall asleep if you're making me marry a woman because I don't want to be with her.
Yep.
I mean, as a closeted, I was closeted for 22 years and I joined a fraternity and everything. And I just remember I would literally get drunk and get like consciously like make myself get extra drunk just so I could like try to hit on women, on girls and sleep with them. And oh, wow. And so they're blaming you and they're making you feel terrible. What are you telling them? How are you giving kind of pushing back? Are you pushing back in an aggressive way, or are you kind of trying to like operate on another level where you're more trying to like listen to them, but then come back like in an educational way, or what are you doing?
So not a whole lot. For me, I mean, when I would come to like religious conversations, why I wasn't religious or whatever, I was kind of able to just somewhat say like, this is why, or like, I just don't believe it. But like the environment I grew up in, like I didn't get to like voice things. Like there was no talking back. There was no nothing. So most of the time, if this is happening, even if they're screaming, I'm hearing like all those terrible things I said before, it's kind of just me sitting there, just silent, not really anything. I didn't really speak up. I wasn't able to. If I did, it would have resulted in like something physical or something like that.
Wow. And how does your family, like, how were your parents with, like, with their friends? Like, are all of their friends also very Christian and conservative? Like, are they in this whole bubble that just breeds? Okay.
Everybody was like that. Although when it came to, like, me, like, other than pastors and whatnot, nobody was to know. So nobody else really knew, like, family, friends, or anything like that.
So you're in Texas at a public school. How was that experience?
It surprisingly wasn't as socially conservative as I think my parents wanted it to be. It was called London High School, and people used to joke around that the L is for lesbian because we had so many lesbians that went there. Yeah, but...
Love Gen Z.
But, so the school itself wasn't terrible. I mean, it was different. Like, I had to tuck in my shirt, even though it was a public school. But I kind of was just focused on getting my whole life on track, because in California, my dad was in the Marines as well. So I would have had free college in California. So nobody saved up my entire life because college was going to be free. Mm-hmm. I knew exactly where I was going to go. So it was kind of like I was trying to figure out where I was going to go to college, how I was going to afford it. I got a job. I was trying to, it was focused on all of that. I never once went to a friend's house all of my senior year or anything.
Wow. Yeah. So it's like the prison continued.
Yeah, it was more, I guess, psychological at that point.
Mm. And had you been acting on any of your feelings? I mean, I know you didn't go to a friend's house, but had you been, like, talking to guys or anything?
Coincidentally, my parents had sent me to, like, a church camp, kind of like as punishment. Like, they forced me to go the summer after I came out. And that was my first time I ever met another gay guy. He was sent for, like, the same reason. It wasn't a church camp for that, but
happened
to meet each other. Nothing happened, though. And then I met other gay people for the first time after that when I got my job. But I was still very closeted. Not really closeted, but, like, I didn't talk about it. I was still going through a lot. So. Right. Yeah.
It's very subdued.
Didn't have any interactions or anything like that until I left home. Although my parents thought I did.
Oh, they thought you were, like, hooking up with people?
At one point, I remember the time I lived in Texas was during the time of Hurricane Harvey. And so there was one point where one of my friends that I met from work, I hardly had texted him, but he was gay. I probably was interested in me. I don't know. I was not in that area.
But
he had, like, texted me asking if I was okay with everything happening because of the hurricane, and my parents could just kind of tell from his text that he was, like, a little flirty and seemed gay, and they just went off, and I had my dad in my room. They were accusing I had gotten a sore throat, and so they were accusing me of having STIs. They're like, you probably go around and just give guys, like, blowjobs and whenever you're fucking at work, or the guy's name was, like, Juan, too, and I spoke Spanish. Like, I had learned Spanish. My dad grew up kind of speaking Spanish, but not a whole lot. But they're like, you speak Spanish now. This guy's name's Juan. Do you, like, they're, like, accusing me of something, like, a weird, they're, like, Mexican man. And I was like, I don't even know how this fits into it. Like,
they're drawing all these conclusions. It's like that meme, Charlie from It's Always Sunny, like, connecting all the dots on the track.
And it was just like, no, this is just a random person at work. I've never hung out with them outside of work, never done anything. I'm a virgin still. I kicked out during the hurricane.
During the hurricane? They almost kicked you out?
Get out. Like, my dad was like, get out. And my mom was like, okay, well, like, hold on.
Oh.
But yeah.
Wow. And then so you joined the military as a way to get out of this situation because you didn't have college opportunity. It's been taken because you moved. And so the military was an outlet for you.
It was more sudden than that, though. Like, so even when we moved to Texas, the one thing they told me they would do for me was pay for college, or at least assist me in college, because they knew it, moving was going to take away all my benefits.
Yeah.
And then about, like, 2 or 3 weeks before I graduated, they kind of called me aside again and were like, we thought moving to Texas would do something. You're still gay. You're still openly wanting to be gay. They're like, we're not going to pay for your college unless you go do a year of therapy first, and we'll see how you are and reassess.
Oh, my God. And you're like, no, I'm not doing therapy.
And at this point, I've already been accepted to a school, too. Like, I was already accepted into a college. Like, I'm ready to go. And then they're telling me, like, literally weeks before my graduation, like, no. And I still wasn't going to get in-state tuition because of how much money they make. I was not going to get federal aid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez. So,
I was like, what do I do? Like, I can't afford this college I'm supposed to go to in just a couple of weeks. So I kind of called my high school counselor. She was helping me through things. And I was kind of just like, I'm done. Can you just like call a military recruiter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. What did you like? Did your parents do anything to like combat their, like, did they do any research into the other side of things? Like, did they ever try to learn about LGBT and acceptance of that?
I really don't think so. They did a lot of research, but it was, I think none of it was on the other side.
It was all Christian propaganda type stuff.
They would make me watch short films made by, like, I don't even remember the names, but like movies or presentations made by Christian media groups. They would make me listen to, at times, podcasts that were done by people that claim to be ex-gay that were talking about being molested or raped as children and mm-hmm. saying, maybe this happened to you and you just don't remember it or you won't admit it. Stuff like that. So never on the other side. It was very much like, why would he be gay? Like, what would turn him gay?
They're just looking for confirmation bias.
Yeah.
In their research. So how was the military going in as a gay man? What was that environment like? I mean, because now it's a post Don't Ask, Don't Tell era, so you're allowed to be out.
Right. So post, since Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been repealed and all that, it's being LGBT is the same protection as anybody else. No different than race or religion or anything. So that, I'm really glad for that. Like, I live in the South now. I have more protections as a military individual than I would as a civilian in the state, which is kind of ironic. It was good. I've never had anything crazy happen. I mean, I think anywhere you go, you're going to get those small comments or something. And if I did, I would immediately shut them down. The only time I had anything major was at like a medical facility on a base, a nurse who wasn't even in the military, but just worked for the military. It was actually my first time I was getting prep because I found out somebody I liked was not being, I guess, loyal like I thought they were. So I was like,
right.
Take care of myself.
Yeah.
And a nurse was like, oh, you never got the HPV vaccine, because my parents were against that. They were like, you're not going to get a vaccine that has to do with an STI. So I'm like, okay, I get that. And they get a nurse to give it to me. And as the nurse is giving it to me, she's like looking at my bag and she's like, what's that? And I was like, oh, it's PrEP, like Truvada. And she's just like, that makes me sad.
Oh,
yeah. Geez. And then she's like, I have a son your age. She's like, it would make me so disappointed if he was doing that. And then was like, do you identify as gay? And I was like, yes. And they're like, do you know about God? And I was just kind of like, what is going on? And then I was like, yeah, I was brought up religious. And then she was kind of just like, well, then you know what's true. And you know what your parents taught you was real. And you need to just, you need to go back and research that.
Trigger.
It was taken care of immediately. And it wasn't even necessarily military, but that's the only experience I've had. Since leaving, that's been homophobic, I guess.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's good. That's the only experience, but it's bad that's happening. I'm just baffled because I feel like the way I perceive, I'm not religious either. I used to be religious, I guess, but I was always very questioning. Like, I was the kid that would like question Santa even at like 8 years old. I was like investigating the wrapping paper. I'm like, Mom, the wrapping paper from you and Dad is the same as Santa's wrapping paper. What does that mean? And so like, I was always poking holes into like, I guess I just questioned things a lot. And so I left faith probably really realistically around like eighth grade, ninth grade. Mm-hmm. But so my worldview is very different, but like, I don't get where people come from as like forcing their religion on other people, because clearly you have this nurse scenario and your parents, and it's like, yes, you can believe in what you want, but then you're forcing it on other people and it's harmful.
I think it comes from that very traditional belief held by most, but kind of literal of like, you know, the only people that are going to heaven are the people that confess their sins and repent. So it's like, it's your duty or else your friends and family are going to hell, kind of.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not even that, because like the nurse said something and doesn't care. It's not like she, you know, loves you in that way, but yeah, you're right. It's like they have this duty. They have this thing that they believe is their calling to tell others about Jesus and the Lord. And
right.
So with all this religious trauma, how did you like get over it? How did you shake it? How did you get to a point where you're more comfortable with yourself? What kind of steps did you take to like get to a better place?
Honestly, just leaving home helped a lot. Like when I left, I got everything on my own. I immediately was like, I'm getting my phone bill, I'm getting my car, everything in my name. And so that helped a lot. And then after leaving in the military, most of my gay friends are military, and there's so many I've met. And so being able to finally like meet people and socialize helped a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't know, as far as like religion goes, I feel like it's always kind of like a constant battle. Like you always have those little things, or like, you know, I can still see a video of something related or someone else that goes through this, a similar thing, and it hits me like right away, like, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't really know if it's something that just like goes away. I feel like it's something that kind of always follows you around.
Right, right. It's something to consciously like be aware of though, so you know, like, you know it's there, but it's not gonna affect you in a major way, as long as you can kind of put it in a box in your mind.
Yeah. Although there is also like all the, you know, people will vote based off that or pass laws based off those beliefs. And so it's kind of like, even the hardest I try to get away from it, it's like it's getting still pushed onto me, you know?
Right, right. Yeah. Separation of church and state is never not a real thing.
A religion as an LGBT person.
Yeah. What are your general thoughts towards religion at all? Because like this is such a touchy subject, and like I'm okay with anybody believing in whatever religion they want. Like I think that's great and beautiful. But if I had a button that I could press to like erase religion, not really erase people, but like erase the ideas, the scripture, like just erase, like blank, everyone reset their brain to zero, I would probably do it. Because I feel like it would make the world a better place.
I don't know. I think my general consensus is like, I mean, first of all, like, I think there's like a huge difference between people that want to be like, oh, I believe in like a higher power, but then changing and making lifestyles based off a specific belief system, you know?
Yeah.
And so like for me, I don't know a whole lot about like non-Abrahamic religions, not a whole lot, but like, I mean, there was a time when like when I was trying to refine myself or like still trying to leave Christianity, I considered, okay, let's look at Judaism. So I looked into Judaism a lot. Now I've done a lot of research and had a lot of exposure to Islam. I speak Arabic now, so that's something, you know, very involved in the culture, and you can't speak Arabic and be involved in Arab culture without also learning Islam.
Yeah.
I've been very involved in that too. And I think just for all the Abrahamic religions, I'm kind of like, I would encourage open criticism. As with any ideology, whether it's like a political ideology or anything, I think anything should be criticized. Even my own, like even being like, I consider myself atheist. I'm like, if you want to criticize that or ask me questions about that, like, please do, you know?
Right.
I just always make that distinction. I try between religion and the follower, or like, you know, like being critical of like a religious ideology or being hurt by it or even completely disliking it. I can still be friends or be close to people that are still part of that religion. Like my ex was Catholic, or a lot of my friends now, like my closest friends are Muslim, or I have a lot of my family on my dad's side is Jewish, or at least by ethnicity and past generations were practicing. But yeah, so.
Yeah, of course. I mean, any ideology needs to be open to criticism, especially if it's affecting people or like being ingrained into laws and society and culture. Yeah. It definitely needs to be, because we're humans and we're all being affected by these ideas, and so they should be able to be criticized or at least examined under right. a lens that's critical. And yeah, and as you said, atheism too. Like,
please do, like, you know,
right.
do whatever you want. If I can challenge you and help you understand better, and if I can do the same to you, great.
That's the only way to move forward, you know, is to have dialogue that is both progressive but also critical, and we're presenting things in a way that's, you know, able to decipher fact and fiction, but also like look at the lens, look at things in a way where we can talk about it together and be open-minded to hearing each other's viewpoints.
Right, absolutely.
And criticize it if necessary. Mm-hmm. You know Arabic. That's really interesting. Was that from like a tour in the military, or how did you learn that?
Through school. I've done online schooling and other schooling since being in the military. Now, hopefully I have an associate's now, but I'm hoping to get more. I get like a bachelor's possibly, but I studied Arabic in school. So that's what okay. I
did. Oh, sweet. Yeah. Have you been, I know I've seen a few of your TikToks. You've been all over the world.
Mm-hmm. I've been traveling. Yeah. I'm yeah. not released yet, mostly because I can't really. It's not like, you know, both being in the military and a gay person, it's not really the best place.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, you got to be careful. What are some of your takeaways from traveling? Like, how has that enriched you as a person? Because I know that's a great thing that travel is. The whole eat, pray, love thing is real. So
I've had all those moves. All those moments. I've gone to Puerto Rico by myself. I've traveled to parts of the world and done weird things. Even when I was religious, I went to like Haiti on what would, I guess, now be considered like a mission trip, which I wouldn't do again.
Yeah.
Still changed my worldview a lot, though. But yeah, I love seeing other cultures and other people's lives, because it reminds me that like mine is not the only one. You know, there's, you know, my biggest worry might be like, do I want Dunkin' or a smoothie for breakfast? Somebody else,
right.
Is there even food?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then I love foreign cultures. I mean, I speak more than just Spanish and Arabic, and like French too, sign language. I've been learning Tagalog, Filipino language. So like, I love other cultures and even religion. I'm very interested in religion. I just look at it more objectively than I think most people would if they're practicing it, but
yeah. Sure. Where's your, like, some of your favorite places that you've been?
Probably my favorite was Honduras. Ooh. I did some diving in Honduras. I'm obsessed with the ocean. I want to study marine biology, so being able to dive on the coral reefs there. It was off the island Roatan, which is known for, they have, I think it's the Belize coral reef, which is mm-hmm. Second only to the Great Barrier Reef in Australia, so really great.
Oh, wow. Sure, beautiful blue waters and green palm trees on the, yeah.
Dark, soft corals. It was fantastic.
Oh, that's a dream, right?
Exactly.
That's funny that you brought up mission trips, because like in hindsight, it's kind of funny to see, because people will go on mission trips. Like I went to Christian high school, as I said. And so we had like 14 different mission trips that people could choose from.
Yeah.
And it's just basically like a photo shoot for some of these people. Yeah. They get their token pictures with their kids or whatever, and then they post them, and it's like, did you really do anything there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My main thing too was like, it's great to like go out and do these good things to help people. Like when I was in Haiti, like these, you know, Haiti's like the poorest country in the Western hemisphere. Like, it was like, this is fantastic that we're like helping people, but it was like, can we not incorporate religion? Like, why do we have to rationalize doing good for people with religion?
Ooh, yeah.
That's why do you have to instruct someone and not just, even if you're trying to spread your religion, can't you just do it just through your good deeds and not through instruction?
Exactly. Why can't your actions speak louder than your words and just be a good person to them?
I also find it ironic that if you look at most places, like my church would go on mission trips, or like our school would go on mission trips, they're already Christian majority nations. You know, like
yeah.
you're not going to send your kids or your church members on a mission trip to a country where they're going to get killed. You know, you're not going to send them to like Saudi Arabia. You're not going to send them to like China. It's like most of them were already Christian majority nations. So it was like kind of not only just the religion, but like this denomination of it on the people.
My brothers went to France, I think. One of them went to France. Maybe they both did. But it's like France, like that's pretty Western, you know, white people, Christian country. And I don't know, I'm like, yeah, you can see the Eiffel Tower. That's cool. So how has your life been with your parents since all of this? Has anything changed at all with them?
No, not at all. I talked to my mom barely, like, and it'll be something random. Like, she texted me the other day for the first time in like a month, and it was like, I think your passport expires, or like random stuff. And then it's been almost a year since I've talked to my dad. So kind of cut those relationships for the most part.
Yeah. And for your own personal well-being, right? Like, clearly.
Exactly.
Do you think that there's hope for them?
Everybody always says there is, but honestly, I don't see them ever changing. I kind of feel like this is just the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so tough. I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm all used to it by this point.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you can always hope. There's always, anything can happen. You know, miracles, if you're religious, miracles do happen. So we'll see. But what do you do to like occupy your time in the military besides making TikToks, I guess? Like are you on camp? Like, are you on base, or are you?
I mean, so like most people when they first join will live like on base. I don't anymore. I have enough rank and time in that I live in a house.
Okay.
But yeah, I just kind of, I can go out, I can do whatever I want. If I'm not working like normal work hours, I'm free.
Yeah.
Like I just like anybody else with a job. So anything outdoors, I got tons of pets. My dog's been like all over the place. You've probably seen him.
Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah.
Are you, so insider military information, is there anything going on? Because I know that there's a lot going on with like the world, obviously, but like with China and stuff like that, is there anything, are they mobilizing troops at all? Do you know, or?
I mean, there's like always stuff going on. Nothing that would be like my, you know, like I am an expert on, like I'm going to.
Right. It's not the 4-star general here that's going to tell us everything.
That would be like any, yeah.
I thought it was worth asking. Just
no. The most part you see on the news is, you know, probably as good as what I have.
Word. Do you have any advice or thoughts for people who are in your situation or who are experiencing maybe what you went through?
Yeah. I don't know. It's really interesting. Everybody always has kind of different advice, and I feel like mine might be different than like what most people would say, but like, just, I don't know, like I don't necessarily always encourage, like I remember when I was growing up, it was like, oh, if you're gay, you should come out. And it was like, I think if you're an adult, if you're, you know, on your own, you don't necessarily have an excuse to, like, if you live in a safe Western country and can support yourself, like you should come out. But like, for kids or people in those environments, I wouldn't recommend, I guess, coming out right away.
Yeah.
Until you're self-sustainable and can, you know, take care of yourself and don't have to rely on somebody else.
Do you think that if you weren't outed, do you think you wouldn't have come out at that age or even during high school at all?
I had considered it a lot, but I kind of knew where my parents stood, so I don't know if I would have. I think I kind of would have waited till college, or I don't even know how that would have worked.
I mean, because you wouldn't have moved to Texas, and you know, you probably would have gotten to college and then been on your own.
It would have been a lot better. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do you keep up with anyone from like your high school? Obviously, not like the people that were terrible, but your high school friends.
Some of my close friends I still talk to. One of them, she's not like huge, but she also is like, she's on TikTok and I watch all her stuff all the time. I have another friend, like my best friend. We're not super close anymore, but I keep up with her. And then another friend that was one of my best friends, like, we talk several times a week. So I do talk to some people.
Yeah.
And they kind of have, they know, obviously their experience was very different than mine, but still they would be like, you know, they look down on like their high school experiences and the way religion was pushed, even though they are still religious.
Sure. Oh, that's so important. I think people,
yeah,
religious people need to be more sound like what your friends sound like just open to other viewpoints and not so forceful, because it goes back to the forcing thing.
Yeah.
And the forcing thing is dangerous. When you're forcing anything on anybody, that's just dangerous.
Right. Especially children. Like, I don't know. I always kind of hold, like, I've had people try to say things, and I always hold, children are not religious. Like, if you cannot form like an educated opinion on something, you're not that religion. So like, yeah, I don't know. It bothers me to see like people push religious standards on children or things like that. I'm like, they don't even know what they believe yet. And so
it's literally indoctrination.
Exactly.
Which is bad. Like, when we say that word, we most Americans see that as like, oh, you're indoctrinating kids into something bad, or like, or whatever, like a cult. But it's like, that's what religion is, that you're indoctrinating kids into a religion, which can be harmful, obviously. So,
exactly.
And I mean, religion does good things and stuff, but I don't know. It's I'm not religious. I'm not going to raise my kids in a religion, but I'm also going to raise them in a way that's like, hey, there are religions out there. If you want to be interested in them, like, be my guest.
Mm-hmm. But, right.
I think that's how it should always be. So we'll see. Do you have any thoughts on this upcoming election?
I don't usually give like political.
That's fine.
But I mean, yeah, I honestly don't even know. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know who I think is going to win. Like, it's all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, it's a crazy time to be in. I was talking to my friend last night, and we were talking for an hour, and it was basically just like this phone call of hysteria of like, what's going on? Like, well, there's riots, there's Trump terrorists, there's also Antifa terrorists. So it's like,
yeah, it's really interesting too. Like, having, I mean, like, I'll have people like commenting things or asking for my opinion, even on like TikTok or something like that. But it's like, being in the military, we can't really give like our political opinion on things like that. Like, if it's specifically concerning like LGBT or something, or like a direct human right, I'll be like, okay, like, we can talk about that. But if it's like down to policies or people, it's kind of like, I can't really.
Yeah.
Do much about that.
Like, that's the thing. Human rights is not a political opinion. I don't know. Right. I hate that, especially queer people or any marginalized community, like, our rights and our equality has literally become a political talking point. It's like, it's not. Stop it.
Exactly. The time I was going through the whole thing with my family in California, it was literally the time of like Prop 8 and then the Supreme Court ruling on same-sex marriage. So it was like, even though I was going through all this stuff internally, it was everywhere anyways. Like, we would go to school, and even in public school when I was in middle school, and it was like, let's debate whether or not gay people should have rights. And it's like, are we going to debate if any other group should have rights?
Right. Should redheaded people get married? Are they allowed to? It's
like, people being like, let's debate like the Civil War again, or like slavery. And like, no, let's debate Muslims have basic rights in America. And you're like, no, like, why are we talking about that? That's,
yeah,
every human should. Why is my rights up for discussion?
I think if when we get through this whole unprecedented time of Trump and just, I don't know, divide amongst Americans, I think that like 20 years down the line, we're going to look back and be like, we're going to have a massive systemic revamping of everything, obviously with everything going on with like Black Lives Matter and everything. But I see a future where we learn queer history, we learn Black history, we are taught queer sex education in schools, or at least that's part of our health classes. Like, I think that's coming. That, I hope so. It better be, because I know things are going to burn if not, I feel like. So, I mean,
even in my public school in Texas, there was no sex education. It was abstinence.
Oh, that's the worst fucking way to go about it. I mean, imagine telling horny 17-year-olds, like, the only way you can prevent STDs and pregnancy is to don't have sex.
And they always most extreme example too. Like the girl that came to our high school was like, I got HPV and like the one rare form that like results in like, I don't know, cancer in like the uterus or whatever. And was like, I had to get my whole like uterus freezed, or like, that's going to happen to you if you have sex. And it's like, we're talking about like a one in how many cases? Like,
yeah.
You can get syphilis from holding hands. Like, you know, like, not even not having sex is going to protect someone. You can share a drink and get certain strains of like HPV or whatever. So it's just like, or hepatitis. And it's like, this isn't working. You need to actually educate children.
It's scare. Scare tactics work. I mean, that's, we can talk like going back to religion. Like that's what you at 6 years old, you're being told you're going to hell if you don't do this or this or this, or you don't believe in this. And it's like, it's literally just a fear tactic, because fear is a way to have control over people. Mm-hmm. And so whether it's scaring people about with STDs for sex education, or scaring them into believing you're in your God, it's like, it's a way to control people and to get people to think like you, which is gross to do. It's manipulative in any other aspect. Like that's manipulative. So, well, cool. Well, do you want to shout out your socials where people can find you?
Sure. On both Instagram and TikTok, it's just my name. It's Aaron, Aaron Bottroff, Bottroff. No spaces, nothing, just my names.
Cool. So you're one of those people that like actually got your name down, because
yeah, there's no one else with my name. So.
Oh, you're unique. Okay.
No, like no one else has it. So
it works. Well, I appreciate you, you coming on here today and kind of just opening up about your story and your personal traumas. Do you have any just closing thoughts or last minute things that you want to get out to people or have them know?
I guess I would just be, I don't know, if people were maybe to watch this that are religious and not LGBT, or even if they are religious and LGBT but didn't grow up in that environment, just to realize that like religious trauma is like a big thing. And it's not even just trauma, but like it can be actual things that happen with people. It might be the majority, it might be the common experience in a religion. And when we speak out about that, it's not because we're hating or bigoted against people, it's because we are being critical of an ideology that we were raised up in that has greatly altered our lives.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. It's coming from a place of personal pain, and yeah, realizing that if we have experienced this pain, if I've experienced pain, or you experience this pain, that means others are experiencing that pain, and we don't want that for anyone else.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, again, I appreciate you being here, and keep up the great work on the TikToks. They're hilarious. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course, you have a great day.
You too.
Thank you all so much for listening. You are all so beautiful and amazing. Make sure to check us out at www.thealphabetmafia.com. You can read our blogs there. You can support our brand. Get yourself a sticker. That really helps us. It raises brand awareness. You put it on your water bottle. You put it on your laptop. It becomes more of a common thing seen around town. Of course, if you need serious help, you can visit thetrevorproject.org, or you can give them a call at 1-866-488-7386. If you are in need of serious help, please reach out to those people immediately. They will be more than happy to help in a tremendous way. Thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you have a beautiful morning, evening, whatever it is. Good night.